Woman? Very simple, say those who like simple answers. She is a womb, an ovary. She is a female. This word is enough to define her. From a man's mouth, the epithet female sounds like an insult. But he, not ashamed of his animality, is proud to hear, he's a male. The term female is pejorative, not because it roots woman in nature, but because it confines her in her sex. And if the sex, even in an innocent animal, seems despicable and an enemy to man, it is obviously because of the disquieting hostility woman triggers in him. Nevertheless, he wants to find a justification in biology for this feeling. The word female evokes a saraband of images, an enormous round egg snatching and castrating the agile sperm, monstrous and stuffed, the queen termite reigning over the servile males, the praying mantis and the spider gorged on love, crushing their partners and gobbling them up. The dog in heat running through back alleys, leaving perverse smells in her wake. The monkey showing herself off brazenly, sneaking away with flirtatious hypocrisy. And the most splendid wildcats, the tigress, lioness, and panther, lie down slavishly under the male's imperial embrace, inert, impatient, shrewd, stupid, insensitive, lewd, fierce, and humiliated. Man projects all females at once onto woman, and the fact is that she is a female. But if one wants to stop thinking in commonplaces, two questions arise. What does the female represent in the animal kingdom? And what unique kind of female is realized in woman? Males and females are two types of individuals who are differentiated within one species for the purposes of reproduction. They can be defined only correlatively. But it has to be pointed out first that the very meaning of division of the species into two sexes is not clear. It does not occur universally in nature. In one-celled animals, infusorians, amoebas, bacilli, and so on, multiplication is fundamentally distinct from sexuality, with cells dividing and subdividing individually. For some metazoans, reproduction occurs by schizogenesis, that is, dividing the individual whose origin is also asexual, or by blastogenesis, that is, dividing the individual itself produced by a sexual phenomenon. The phenomena of budding or segmentation observed in freshwater hydras, coelenterates, sponges, worms, and tunicates are well-known examples. In parthenogenesis, the virgin egg develops an embryonic form without male intervention. The male plays no role or only a secondary one. Unfertilized honeybee eggs subdivide and produce drones. In the case of aphids, males are absent for a number of generations, and the unfertilized eggs produce females. Parthenogenesis in the sea urchin, the starfish, and the toad has been artificially reproduced. However, sometimes in the protozoa, two cells can merge, forming what is called a zygote. Fertilization is necessary for honeybee eggs to engender females and aphid eggs, males. Some biologists have thus concluded that even in species capable of perpetuating themselves unilaterally, the renewal of genetic diversity through mixing of parental chromosomes would benefit the line's rejuvenation and vigor. In this view, then, in the more complex forms of life, sexuality is an indispensable function. Only elementary organisms could multiply without sexes, and even so, they would exhaust their vitality. But today, this hypothesis is most inexact. Observations have proved that asexual multiplication can occur indefinitely without any noticeable degeneration. This is particularly striking in bacilli, more and more, and bolder and even bolder parthenogenic experiments have been carried out. And in many species, the male seems radically useless. Moreover, even if the value of intercellular exchange could be demonstrated, it would be a purely ungrounded fact. Biology attests to sexual differentiation, but even if biology were imbued with finalism, the differentiation of sexes could not be deduced from cellular structure, laws of cellular multiplication, or any elementary phenomenon.